Today's audiocast for Monday, April 9th, 2007 from AvWeb, the world's premier independent aviation news resource, is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. AvWeb continues part two of a discussion on aviation user fees with AOPA Senior Vice President for Government and Technical Affairs, Andrew Sabula. He explains what costs are involved with fully allocating a user fee system.
When you go to a place like the Netherlands, where they fully allocate the cost for the air transportation system across all of the users, a gallon of gas in the Netherlands is something like $25 a gallon, and it costs at a minimum $10 every time you land a Cessna 172 at an airport. It might be somewhere between $10 to $50. So when you start looking at those kinds of fee structures, if it was going to be a fully allocated system, general aviation in the United States would dramatically change, and it would be dramatically reduced. And quite frankly, we think that that's not good public policy. And as a representative for pilots across the country, we're opposed to what would ultimately price us out of the sky.
Asked if AOPA has heard from airline pilots regarding user fees, Sabula said they've heard from some.
We have heard from some airline pilots because we have used, up to this point, we haven't gone out with a call for action to all of our members. We've used a much more targeted approach, reaching out to some very specific members of Congress that we want them to hear from pilots back in their state or in their congressional district if they're in the House. Well, in doing that, we have actually gotten responses from airline pilots, and I would say that the majority of those that we're hearing from that are acknowledging that, hey, I'm an airline pilot, agree with where we're coming from. So, but I certainly wouldn't want to speak for airline pilots as an entity or as an organization. I just know that AOPA members that are airline pilots, they're not coming to us and saying, "Hey, what is this all about? You know, we're not supportive of what it is that you're trying to do here."
The FAA seems to be ignoring the fact that the ATC system was designed primarily for the airlines, he noted.
That's a real big issue. They're in just their whole cost of allocation, what they have done is they've taken essentially all of the cost and pretty well divided it equally amongst the users. There's a couple of exceptions they've made where it was just obvious that it was an airline component of the system, but by and large, they've pretty well just divided by the number of operations. And, of course, I don't know what a system that were, let's say, a GA-only system would look like, because that would be almost impossible to come up with. But I can tell you that in the past cost allocation studies, that there was a much better recognition that the drivers of the system cost were the airlines. I mean, if you just think about the Cleveland Center, at probably about 7:38 o'clock on a Monday morning, is going to have a lot of congestion because of the departures out of New York, out of Boston, and other points east that are flying to the west, and those flights, of course, need to be accommodated. I mean, you know, we want an efficient airline system, but the staffing is obviously in the Cleveland Center. The equipment that is in the Cleveland Center, I mean, all of that is driven by the airline's needs to be able to operate in the system. And I think, you know, for general aviation, you know, one of the things that we faced at the higher altitude operations was RVSM, the reduced vertical separation minimums, where equipment had to be put into aircraft that are going to fly at higher altitudes, so that there could be an expansion of that en route capacity. And so a lot of the issues now are either weather driven, or they are about just how many airplanes can you get on a specific piece of runway at a particular point in time, and then, you know, obviously how you are actually bringing those aircraft into the system in the terminal area.
Despite its disagreement with the FAA over how to fund the agency, AOPA is supportive of ATC modernization.
And AOPA has been very, very involved in working towards the system of the future. I mean, we were an early proponent and adapter of using GPS, which, contrary to what has been said in some of the administrator's own speeches, I mean, GPS is widely used by our members. I think in a recent survey, it was something like 70% are using GPS in some form. I mean, some of it's actually installed in the aircraft, others of it is handheld. But I mean, there's a widespread use of GPS in the general aviation community. So, and of course, obviously GPS is going to be a key component of the future system. Likewise, we've been very involved in ADS-B. So we're really working on helping to define, to bring into reality the technology that's going to define what the future system is going to be. And we're not impeding progress on that. But I would say that we all recognize that we need to get a bill passed. But quite frankly, we can't be held hostage, so to speak, by the threat that there's going to be congestion that's going to prevent us from being able to fly into, let's say, an airport that's underneath a Class B airspace in a metropolitan area, because we're not willing to accept the 70-cent a gallon tax on the fuel that we use, and then this beginning of a user fee, which, based on our reading of their legislation, would apply to anybody who's flying through congested terminal airspace, which we've just kind of simplified by calling it Class B airspace. But that's significant, and we are just adamantly opposed to a user fee funded system. You look at Europe, we don't want the European system brought to the United States. We don't think that's progress in the aviation system.
Now that Congress has held several hearings on FAA reauthorization and agency funding, Cibula says the next move is to draft proposals before a bill can be written and hopefully passed by the September 30th deadline.
April is what I would call the digest month. In other words, all of the information that Congress has been collecting through hearings and through all the meetings that we've been having with them, and as well as everyone else, the staff are looking at the various positions, looking at the needs, and so it's kind of an analysis month, so to speak. I think in May is when you're going to see some proposals actually floated. Whether they'll be formally introduced at that point, I don't know, but I'm sure there'll be a lot of vetting of them. The goal, I believe, on both sides is to try to get a piece of legislation approved in both the House and the Senate by Memorial Day, so that then you could actually work over the summer towards the resolution of the two different bills, and then actually get something approved and enacted to meet the October 1st deadline. Now, the tough thing in all of this, besides the negotiation over the FAA funding issue, is that Congress has a lot of things on its plate. There's security bills, there's this issue of the war and how they're going to approach us. So there are some really broad-ranging issues that are going to take a lot of congressional resources. So I think that all of us in the aviation community are looking at the need for us to come together in some way to be able to hammer out our differences so that we can work, I guess I would say, collectively and in supporting a piece of legislation in the House and the Senate. Now, obviously, a lot of things have to happen for that to be able to occur. The airlines are going to have to change some of what's been their position on a couple of these issues, and of course, the administration's going to have to look at this differently as well. So, you know, there's a lot that is going to have to be ironed out. But that at least gives you an idea of what we're striving for by way of timing.
Andrew Cibula, AOPA Senior Vice President for Government and Technical Affairs, commenting on user fees. Hey, did you know now you get the latest general aviation news from AFWeb as it happens at AFWeb.com, plus tons of resources, and you'll love our new look. Log on today, www.afweb.com. Comments on this audiocast welcome at audionews@afweb.com. And this report was brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. Check it out at aviationsafetymagazine.com. Look for AFWeb's next audiocast on Friday, April 13th. For the AFWeb Audio News Team, I'm Mike Blakeney, and thanks for listening.